And with that, we want to welcome from our friends over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington, our good friend Katie Griner, who's here this morning. Good morning, Miss Katie.
Good morning, Kev. How are you?
We're doing okay, all things considered. A little under the weather today, but like I said, great attitude because it's going to be a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
And really grateful for the day. Just didn't want to come in there and risk getting anybody else sick. So figured with
it.
The technology and the ability to do the program from the house, this way I could accomplish the goal of getting the show done and not getting anybody sick.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where we're at. How's your world? How's everything at Oakleaf?
Oakleaf is doing very good. We got a few of our team members, unfortunately, have had some loved ones pass over this past week. So I am praying and thinking of our management team today.
Okay. Well, yeah. Have good thoughts for everybody over at Oakleaf Village. Some of the folks over there going through a hard time.
Absolutely.
Well, we're glad you're with us today. And, you know, we're going to tackle something today that I know you have studied and worked on and been around for quite some time with hospice care and getting hospice involved. And it has a lot of things that people immediately hear the word hospice and they think, oh, it's the inevitable immediate ending for somebody. That's not always the case, although it is often a situation where we do know that the clock is ticking. So I want to talk a little bit about it. I've been through hospice with a few different people, and I will tell you what, each experience we've had has been phenomenal in terms of the compassion, the care, the loving, and just I considered the nurses that have been involved with the hospice that have helped our family and friends that I know have been like angels, absolute angels to us.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's good to hear that people have had a good experience because there's so many different groups out there. Just in Lexington and Richland County alone, there's about 43 licensed agencies in the community. So with 43 different types of folks out there, there's plenty to choose from. So the one thing that I've always preached ever since I got into hospice was freedom of choice. You have a choice to pick which hospice agency is the best fit for you. So that has always been something I have kind of preached on and always told families to interview your hospice agencies to make sure that they're a good fit for your family. But just because one's a good fit for one set of folks does not mean that it's a good set for another group. So it's always good to sit down, have a discussion, fill them out. Do just like you're doing a job interview and talk with them and see what their goals are and how they work and what their experience is. A lot of times, once you have that conversation, it makes a huge difference in making a decision. You don't want to hurry up and quick and just throw a group in there and then you don't really know what's going on and everything happens real quick. So it makes a big difference when you sit back and just really truly sit down and discuss it and make sure it feels good to you for your family.
You know, the whole idea of hospice, it for some people, Katie, obviously, it's a very challenging time because, I mean, again, you know that you don't get hospice involved unless there's something basically that's terminal or about to happen. So there's a certain sense of almost like a finality to when you hear the word hospice is coming in. You kind of feel like, okay, this is the last chapter for some people. But I can give you an example. We had hospice involved with my cousin Bobby, who I know that you don't you weren't around with us doing the show during that whole time, but Karen and Marsha were, and hospice got involved, and it went on for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something imminent that's going to happen.
Correct.
More often than not, I would say it's probably something that's not going to last anything near a year and a half. But you've seen cases like the one I just described.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So we've in the past, when I've worked with other agencies, we've had where we would put patients on a service. They would be on for, if 24 hours was the limit, then that was it. Some folks went quick. It just depended on the situation. We had folks that we were able to continue recerting them and making sure that they were still appropriate for hospice and were on service for 2 years. So it's not unheard of. It's just it doesn't always happen that way. We've had them to where they've gotten better after they were on hospice. They got all the extra love and attention and doting and all the pampering that they could get, and they were able to graduate. And that's when you want to really get balloons and gifts and celebrate and have a party because it doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Right. You know, I want to talk about what goes on, kind of like the process, if you would, because there are some people who don't know when it's time to call, when it's time to ask for that help, what the services are that hospice can provide. Take us through just a general, here's what they do and here's how they do it.
Well, the good thing is hospice is covered by Medicare at 100%. So that's one thing the folks don't realize, that it is something that Medicare covers. Of course, you have to have an agency that is billable for hospice, so you have to make sure that they're in network and that they are providers for them. The first thing that you have to do is, of course, have an order from a physician to say that this person does have a terminal illness that would possibly, if the illness were run its course, it would be 6 months or less that they could possibly be around. So that's the first steps. Once you get an order, then what happens, your hospice agency will come out and do what we call an evaluation to see if they are truly appropriate for hospice. And it doesn't have to be just cancer. That used to be in the past where a lot of folks think, oh, well, I don't have cancer, I can't have hospice. There's so many different terminal illnesses out there, especially now. And we can also have what I would call the cabbage patch kids. They could have several things going on, several things wrong with them that would make up enough to be able to be covered by hospice. So it could be anything from congestive heart failure. It could be COPD. It could be kidney disease. There's just so many things that it could be. It's not just, again, cancer. So once an order is written, hospice comes out, does an evaluation. Once they do the evaluation, then what they're doing is already trying to figure out the best plan of care. What's going to be the best thing for this family? You have physicians that are involved, as well as nursing staff that gets involved, chaplains or counselors, social works, there's certified nursing assistants, there's volunteers. So there's a big group of people that are literally getting together to gather around this loved one to get them their needs taken care of. And it's all about comfort care. It's not curative, it's comfort. And that's the biggest difference.
And that to me is what I was talking about in terms of the angelic aspect of It's incredible that at least in my experiences, and I've been through hospice now with three people that I care deeply for, it's like these nurses or these individuals that come in, and I mean, there's hospice involves doctors, nurses, clergy, all of them are involved, but the nurses in particular, they made me feel, at least Katie, like I was their only patient, like my family members and friends that they were helping, that's all they cared about was. They care about you and only you and your family. What can we do to take some of the stress off of you? You're staying up all night with your loved one. How can I help you with that? You're doing this, you're doing that. Let me take some of the pressure off of you. Let me let you just enjoy being with your loved one, and I'll take care of some of the things that you don't have to. So it's just, they were angels. I mean, they were absolutely reading my mind on what they can do to make this difficult experience not so difficult.
I would definitely say it is a calling. I've been around several nursing staff, CNA staff, and that is one thing that when they put on their shoes that day, they're getting dressed and they're walking into a patient's room and they're going to give that care, they do it 100%. And when they're doing 100% of their compassion and their care, I mean, they're drained by the end of the day, the end of the week. I mean, I remember I have one nurse that I am still friends with, and on Saturdays, she sleeps until 2 o'clock in the afternoon if she could help it, because during the week, she gives 115% all the time, just going through and making sure everyone is taken care of as far as the family, the loved ones, and even the other staff members. She follows up with them and checks on them as well, because they get so attached, they get so involved with these families. It's draining.
No doubt. No doubt. We are headed to a timeout. We're going to get you the Fox Business Report brought to you by our friends over at the HGO Group and my buddy Randy over there. He does beautiful work. Give him a call. In the meantime, I've got Katie with us from Oakleaf Village. It is our Positive Points on Aging. We're coming back with more as we continue the discussion on hospice and its role in the life of your loved ones.
Stick around. With Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studio. It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
About 8 minutes now before 9 o'clock. Don't forget, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Clear to Close with Erica and Mary Gervais. That's coming your way in a little while. And we listen to those folks in the 9 o'clock hour every Tuesday morning. They'll do a great job for us. In the meantime, we are moving forward with our positive points on aging, and we're happy that Katie is with us from over at Oakleaf Village. We're talking about hospice and hospice care and the impact that they can have. So help me understand this for a moment, Katie. When it comes to this situation, how do you know when it's time to make the phone call or to ask, or does someone usually come to you and say, this is might be your next move?
It is a little bit different because in the facilities, you have staff members that are seeing changes and seeing the decline. Whereas the families that are at home and they're taking care of their loved one at home, it begins when you start seeing the changes. It could be with their dementia. It could be with their physical changes when they're not able to do certain things. The biggest part of it is when you are no longer looking for curative measures, meaning you're having a fall at home. You're tired of going to the hospital. You don't want to go back to the hospital again. You've been so many times, and there's really, you get to the hospital, there's really nothing else they can do. You've had a fall, but there's no broken bones. There's nothing harming you. You're just having those, what we call whoopsie daisies. So they go back home, and then all of a sudden something happens again, and they're back at the hospital, and they're going back home. So the family gets really tired of doing the back and forth, and so does the patient. 99.9% of the time, it is the patient that is ready for hospice. The families have a harder time with it because the families are worried that that means that their loved one is giving up. And it's not that they're giving up. It's just they are ready for that moment of comfort, peace, and be able to spend time, quality time with their family. So that is one step that you start looking at to say, okay, it is definitely time for, let's just at least have the conversation. Find out if it's even time for hospice. It could be that it's just not appropriate yet. But the biggest complaint I had with folks was they wish they had started hospice sooner. So that is one of my biggest things, is go ahead and start interviewing, make plans. You make plans to go on vacation. You know exactly where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and how it's going to work. So it's kind of the same with your hospice experience. Go out there, evaluate, find out, see who it is, and then interview with different ones that are out there to see which one's the best fit for your family.
The proactive, you haven't been with us that long, mm-hmm. Doing the positive points on aging, Katie. But that is something that we have harped on so often and so much, yep. When it comes to everything, when it comes to our senior adults and what we're trying to do. Being proactive, we talk about it with everything from making sure that your paperwork is done, your will, your power of attorney, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
We talk about that being done. But this is another angle also. It doesn't mean that you're conceding or you're giving up. It doesn't mean that you are admitting defeat. It doesn't mean any of those things. It's just something where you're trying to say, I'd rather have this in place now than be in a situation where I no longer have the opportunity to make choices and I just have to grab whatever I can grab.
Absolutely, because a lot of families, you just don't want to have it where a situation where you're doing that knee-jerk reaction moment. And then you're making these rash decisions, and then it's rushed. And then when it's rushed, it's just you're not getting the true hospice quality care that you, your family and your loved ones deserve. It is all about compassion. It is all about, you know, counseling and making sure the medications are correct, making sure that they're no longer in pain, that they're been able to enjoy and spend that quality time with the family. Because the medication management is probably key, as well as the plan of care. Because when the CNA staff and the nursing staff are coming out to the home, it is, you know, they're there to help supplement some of that stuff so that the family can be the quality of care and friendship with their folks. So the CNAs come in, get them up, get them bathed, get them dressed and ready for the day. That's kind of what the CNAs do. And each hospice agency is a little bit different at how many times a week that they'll come out. It could be 2 days. It could be 5 days. It could be 7 days. It just depends on that patient's plan of care. Nursing staff is the same. It may be just once a week that they come out, but it also may be two or three times a week, especially during a period of crisis. It just really depends on each individual patient.
And so if I'm understanding what you're saying here, there's got to be like an evaluation that takes place when you're doing the when you're interviewing them, they're kind of interviewing you also, right?
Absolutely, because what they're looking for is the family dynamics as well, because sometimes the patients are the easiest ones to take care of, and the family may not be the easiest ones to take care of.
Right.
So you're having to kind of make sure that the situation that we're bringing meds into the home is the home that you can leave certain medications in the home. There are situations where you know that the family is going to be more high strung because they're panicking, they're worried, they're stressed. So there's some anxiety that's going on the family side. But then we're having to look at the whole situation as well as the individual for their care.
Really fascinating. It really is when you think about the whole idea. What stands out to me, I guess, in our final couple minutes here, Katie, is again, you want to be prepared, but at the same time, you want to let them do what they do best.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is what I've been guilty of is trying to do too much mm-hmm. in situations like this. And sometimes you just need help. And sometimes you just need to admit that you need a little help. And that's where I really believe the hospice folks come in, and they don't have to do A, B, C, and D. If you need more help with A and B than you do C and D, then they'll do that for you. They'll help you with that. But you don't have to be the hero who tries to do everything. You really can allow for some help.
Absolutely. And that's why I tell folks a lot of times, go ahead and call hospice agency. Talk to them, see who's the best fit for you. But also that way you can kind of give them the backstory, what's going on with mom or dad or your brother or your cousin. And so they'll know kind of the story and they can say, all right, well, I really do feel like, yeah, it may be time for an agency to come out and do an evaluation. The next step for you to do would be sit down with your physician and see if you can't get an order to evaluate. It doesn't have to say admit on there yet. It could just say to do an evaluation. The only way that they can admit is if the doctor writes the order that says to evaluate and admit if appropriate for hospice services.
Right. It really is important. If people want to find out more about this and talk with you about it, Katie, how can they get in touch with you guys?
And they can reach us at 803-808-3477, or they can go to oakleyvillagelexington.com.
You killed it today. I really
Yay!
Appreciate it very much. And we will see you guys again next week.
Sounds
really
good.
Thank you for all you do.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, amen. Back at you. Let's remind you that coming up, it is Erica and Mary Gervais in the 9 o'clock hour. And don't forget, this afternoon, Casey will be with you on the afternoon drive. For Brian, for Katie, I'm Kevin. Thank you for listening to The Point.
Mornings with Kev.